Welcome to Podcats. All the cats are in the pod, and it's time for Crime and Cocktails.
Hey, everybody, it's Podcat
in the house.
Hey.
So we just did our first little YouTube. Hey, we're getting ready to get started, and it's super dumb, but maybe we'll share it. But we're here. It is Jessica, of course, and Erica, and she's all in pink, super sparkly in pink, and Tracy's hoodie graffitied out. She's all in black with her little black ears.
Meow.
And her lipstick's pretty. And Madison is in a really cute mint hoodie with luscious pink lipstick.
It actually is not a hoodie. There's no hood.
No, there's no hood.
There's no hood.
It's a hoodless hoodie.
It does have pockets, though.
And it has pockets.
I love my pockets.
So we're talking about the hatchet-wielding hitchhiker.
Smash.
And as we were getting ready to get started, it seemed like some of the kitties had some fairly strong feelings about how something. I don't know, it was Eric and Tracy. I'm not sure. It was negative, though.
He's an idiot.
Okay.
That's it. He's carrot top.
He's
but bad.
Right.
But bad. Right. Smash, smash.
So yeah. This is the story of a young homeless guy named Kai who had complete social media fame that took a very dark turn. My 20-year-old was like, I remember the memes. I remember everything. Like, it was huge in his world. So he was fascinated and actually wanted to be here, and I totally forgot to call him.
Oh, damn.
Sorry, Jackson. I don't remember it on social media back then. This was the first I'd ever heard of it.
Same.
But I was surprised it was so long ago.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear about it.
Yeah, how long ago was it?
Like 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the documentary starts out with the reporter in Fresno, California. That's Jessup Relsbeck. He was sent to report on this traffic accident. That's like how the whole thing starts. And he somehow gets an interview with this kid that then nobody else gets an interview with. I can barely swallow.
He also bonds with the kid quite quickly.
He did.
So there's this auto accident. All hell's breaking loose. And this reporter calls this kid over and says, like, what happened? And so he says he was hitchhiking. He was in the car with Jet Simmons McBride, who was this big fat guy who claimed to be Jesus Christ, and that he told him in the car that he had raped a 14-year-old once on a business trip. And then he crashes into the intersection and pins this man against a truck.
Right.
And so then he is about to attack somebody else. And so Kai jumps out of the car and and handles the situation. What he does is explain that he had a hatchet in his backpack and he ran and got it or whatever. And then
because he lives on the streets.
Yeah. So then he lifts up his arm and he starts showing, like, going smash, smash, smash with what he did to his head.
He used the blunt end. He made it clear they used the blunt end for a while. And then he turned it.
Right.
And that's when it chopped his skull.
And he had, like, a lot of hair, and he was really kind of a beautiful kid, like Mediterranean skin, and sort of had this endearing.
But it seemed like from the very get-go, he clearly was on drugs.
Yeah, I mean, I would say stoned, but not like anything more serious.
No, I thought he was definitely way more than stoned.
Huh. Interesting.
I mean, he just talked so.
I don't remember what happened.
I think that was his psychotic shit.
He didn't die. Right.
I feel like that was more psychotic.
It could have been.
I totally just thought he was high. But here's the full interview from KMPH Fox 26 News.
An absolute bizarre scene here in West Fresno at the corner of McKinley and Marks. A man claiming he's Jesus plows his car into a PG&E worker, pinning him against his truck because the worker was black. The man's passenger, who had a hatchet, and innocent bystanders come to the rescue.
Comes driving down this way. He's like, you know what? I come to realize I'm Jesus Christ and I can do anything I want to. And watch this. Bam! And he smashed into this guy right there, pinned him in between that truck.
Homeless hitchhiker Kai was in the passenger seat of the Oldsmobile when this all went down. Tanya Baker and her daughter Ginger Miller Peraza were two of the first to run over and help.
My mom ran to the driver to make sure he was okay because we thought maybe it was just an accident or something. And I ran straight to the PG&E man.
This was far from an accident, and the ordeal was far from over.
The guy just went crazy
and was trying to pull the guy from underneath the car in the truck, and then he gets in his car and tries to move the car in that, and we weren't going to let him do it.
If you started driving that car around again, man, there would have been a hell of a lot of bodies around here.
He just kept saying he was Jesus Christ and he's going to save all of us and that, but we have to get... He used the N-word, meaning the black people, in that. He said we need to get them off of the earth.
The African-American PG&E worker was rushed to the hospital and underwent surgery for non-life-threatening injuries. And he wasn't the only person that the crazy driver went after.
When he put me in a bear hug and started beating the crap out of me, for what reason, we still don't know.
And these two women are trying to help him. He runs up and he grabs one of them, man. Like a guy that big can snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick. So I ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
And that's what Tanya said saved her life. The driver is described as a big man, over 6 feet tall and 300 to 400 pounds. Kai, the homeless hitchhiker, didn't care.
That woman was in danger. He just finished what looked like at the time killing somebody. And if I hadn't have done that, he would have killed more people.
As crazy as things got here, the best news is somehow, luckily, none of the injuries suffered are life-threatening, and the guy driving that car is right where he belongs, in police custody. In West Fresno, Jessup Reisbeck, KMPH News.
They go back. The reporter sends the footage back to the news station to put the story together. Then it goes to YouTube, and he goes to bed. And when he wakes up in the morning, it's basically like 8 million views that this thing has gotten.
Was it really 8 million?
Overnight?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Within 500,000.
Within
he
a
had
week,
20.
It was 8 million.
Yeah. But overnight, mm-hmm. It was 500,000, yeah.
The Gregory Brothers, which was a band, actually sampled the interview and turned it into a song.
A man claiming he's Jesus plows his car into a PG&E worker, pinning him against his truck. The man's passenger comes to the rescue.
People say, don't hit Jake. Well, good thing I was hitchhiking. That woman was in danger. So I ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash. Yeah, yeah. He started driving that car again. There'd be a hell of a lot of bodies around here. Dude, that guy was fucking cooped out. He can snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick. So I started smashing him in the head. Smash, smash, smash. No matter what you've done, you deserve respect. Even if you make mistakes, you're lovable. Doesn't matter your look, skills, or age, or size, or anything. You're worthwhile. No one can ever take that away from you. You're worthwhile. No one can ever take that away from me. I was in the passenger side of this fucker's car, and he's like, you know what? I come to realize I'm Jesus Christ. I can do anything I fucking want to. Bam! He smashed into this guy right there. Two women are trying to help him. He grabs one of them. So I ran up behind him with a hatchet. Smash! 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 Yeah, yeah. If he started driving that car again, there'd be a hell of a lot of bodies around here. That guy was fucking cooped out. He can snap a woman's neck like a pencil stick. So I started smashing him in the head. Smash, smash, smash. No matter what you've done, you deserve respect. Even if you make mistakes, you're lovable. Doesn't matter your look, skills, or age, or size, or anything. You're worthwhile. No one can ever take that away from you. You're worthwhile. No one can ever take that away from you. You're worthwhile. No one can ever take that away from you. Worthwhile.
Oh, damn.
So that's when it went totally nutty, crazy. And yeah. That's when the meme started and everything. Inside Edition invited him. Jimmy Kimmel invited him to be on the show. Mm-hmm. And people started sending him shit knowing he was homeless. Wait, but
then he sang with the band.
Did he?
Yes.
Got up and mm-hmm.
They had him sing, and then that's when the band leader was starting to realize there was other things going on and he didn't want anything to do with them. Even in his singing. The things right. that he was saying to the camera.
Do you remember that one video where it's like a video he took on his own phone or something of Kai where he's like playing guitar and singing?
Yeah.
I've never seen a beauty like you before. A breathless kiss slipping through the door. You got that shiny light of fight in your eyes. You're the sunset that brings a twilight. Soft orange kisses for Lord Mrs. Kisses, well-worn dresses that you leave. Together we can be harder.
Oh, yeah. And he was good.
Really
good.
Well, he was locked in his bedroom a lot when he was a kid. I think that's what he did to get himself through.
He could play 6 instruments. Mm-hmm. He was brilliant when it came to...
And that's what people saw. They saw good-looking kid, brilliant, crazy circumstances, a hero.
Charismatic.
But what about the reporter? Like, my strongest feeling of this entire documentary was my bewilderment about that reporter back in the day when he did the interview
versus
with Kai
today.
Versus today telling the story.
Yeah.
First of all, how hot did you fucking get? And how could that not even have been like a teaser back then? Like, no clue that was ever going to lead
totally
to
different.
That.
Mm-hmm. Totally different.
What is that?
You mean his looks?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Never occurred to you did it because he's a white man.
Yeah, I didn't even notice. He had dark hair. Only thing I got from him was his disgust and disappointment in himself.
Yeah.
I felt.
For being
for
so
missing
close
everything.
To him.
And for missing everything. Mm-hmm.
I didn't sense that was crazy. What he felt at all.
I did. Yes, absolutely. He was so.
Especially at the end.
Like, he was like,
and drop his head and shake his head at
no,
himself.
I think he was hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, hurt that this happened. Like, not about him at all, but like, man, I really loved this kid and I really had hopes for this kid. And like, it just got so fucked up. I saw him being heartbroken for the situation, not at all for himself. I didn't.
Well,
I don't even remember what we're talking about.
I mean that he was disappointed in how he handled it.
How he handled it, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, I mean, in the beginning, he was all pumped.
And when he realized
that
now that
the only one that had this video.
That had this great.
And he literally tried to kill this man in the beginning. He was not a hero.
Right.
So when he started realizing all these things, because
he
ebronized him, or whatever the word is, because he's the one that wrote about him.
He felt bad about how he handled it, looking back. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20.
Did you guys, any of you look up to see what sign?
No.
Kai is? Any guesses on his astrological sign?
I
think it's somebody's in their head.
Spill
a Virgo. I don't know.
Virgo.
A Virgo.
Somebody's in their fucking head all the time.
I can see a Virgo.
He was born in Canada.
How old was he when this happened?
17.
Was he really?
He was born in 1988.
With the first guy. The hatchet.
Yeah, 17.
Yeah.
So we basically, in the documentary, go through like the whole rise of his fame and people tracking him, trying to get interviews with him. Everybody's reaching out to the main reporter because they know he is connected. So they're like, help me get in touch with him. Like, it just goes bonkers. And then you start seeing like some erratic shit as a viewer of this documentary. Like, you start seeing B-roll of Kai where you're like,
where he starts going downhill.
His erratic nature becomes a little dark, I would say. Mm-hmm. And you can see that in how he's behaving. Like, it's almost like that little kid in elementary school that has the severe ADD and has to be put in the corner.
Like, I feel like it was paranoia from all the attention, though, too.
Yeah, it seemed.
And the lack that he never had.
Exactly. He's like, wait a minute.
I thought he liked it.
Yeah,
definitely.
He liked it. But, I mean, I think he was
ultimately
really paranoid.
Pressured.
Well, so all of a sudden, after 3 months, it's literally 3 months after everything goes viral, is when he gets linked to the death of this attorney, this old attorney, New Jersey, Joseph Golfi. He gets pulled in by the police and immediately says self-defense and that the guy tried to rape him and drug him, I think.
Yeah, because he woke up pulling up his pants.
Mm-hmm. Is that when he made that post about that? Was that about that?
Yes, when he said, what would you do?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was some more of his erratic craziness. What would you do if you woke up from somebody drugging you and your pants were down? What would you do? And you had blood on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And something else. Something
come on the side of your face.
Come and you're running out of, out of your mouth or whatever.
I was like, something about a blowjob or cum or, yeah.
I'm going to try and read this quote that he said, Kai, but I don't know if I can do it. He said, do you know how many hot chicks, when they're like, did you purposely have sex with him? Whatever, like where it wasn't raping. He's like, do you know how many hot chicks, I mean, even if I was gay, do you know how many hot guys wanted to fuck me after that shit in California? I'm not even being vain. It's just like a fact. No offense, but he wasn't a looker.
Where was that? Was that in the documentary?
I found that somewhere else.
Oh,
and I was like, wow,
that
was a super interesting insight into how he sees the world.
Holy shit.
That is not covered in the documentary.
That's a wild quote.
But what was covered was the video footage from the train station. So that's where I was like, he is fucking lying. Mm-hmm. So he said that he stayed at his house the first night, got raped, and then that's how he's explaining what happened the second night. But that contradicts everything, because after the first night when he was supposedly raped, the two of them are at the train station and he's giving him, like, buying his ticket, hugging him goodbye. Like, he's out. He's gone. And then he decides not to get on the train and leave and goes back to this guy's house. And that's when he kills him that night.
Waking up from something like that and still trying to dissect it, trying to process it and all that. He gives him a hug. Up to that point, I could have seen that behavior and the hug even, because maybe he's unsure. Maybe when he was fucked up, he brought that on, whatever. I don't know. It's a victim thing. However, then when he goes back, no.
He went back because he didn't have nowhere to go, right? Because he was supposed to be staying with somebody else.
Right.
And they didn't answer the phone because for whatever. He didn't go the first night or something. And
but if it was that bad that you're going to kill somebody to say, I'm going to go be with them.
But the reporter also said that there was something said somewhere about him being a vigilante against pedophiles.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And they were like, was he thinking this man was a pedophile?
Beforehand, even.
Right.
Yeah.
So did he do it for that reason, or was he raped before?
The first time.
Okay.
And the second.
So he says.
So he says.
Yeah.
Both times.
No, Pee-pee. And he liked the old man's dick. Old man would buy him a ticket.
That's it. Yeah.
And he did what he needed to do to get across the United States. He had nowhere to go. He had no people. Right. He had no place to live.
To survive. A quote from the Three of Us Thought Hot reporter, and the one Erica didn't even remember, is this dude that I introduced to the world that went in a matter of 3 months from this amazing, beautiful, heroic person to wanted by authorities for murder. He's the one that took his own stand, that was his own attorney.
Right.
It was Kai.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Yep.
I was going to say.
So he'd have these, like, outbursts in court, too, that were really disturbing. Like, he was definitely cray-cray.
Yeah, I didn't see him defending himself.
So what happened to him in the end?
So he got sentenced to 57-year prison sentence, and he has to serve at least 85% of that, which is 43 and a half years.
When did he get that?
2019. And this is what the judge said. The judge was definitely not impressed by him at all. He said, when you become eligible for parole, you'll still be younger than Mr. Gaffley when you murdered him.
Damn.
Some judge statements. We can't wait to hear Tracy's coming up in our next podcast. But badass judges. So good.
There are some good ones.
Yeah, there are. Mm-hmm. Actually, after the murder charges, the video went even more viral, which is crazy to me. And then because he's all over the world now, his fans actually start a legal fund for his defense.
To get him off, right?
People are crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy. Mm-hmm.
What about, do you remember the mom? Like, so this whole documentary, you don't meet any
family
until...
She totally locked him in his bedroom, and she totally... I completely think she's just a shitty mom, to be honest with you.
I don't remember the mom at all.
Oh, yeah.
She only got a couple clips in that whole documentary.
What'd she look like?
Him?
Yeah.
In the picture side by side, they look just alike.
Kind of hippie-ish.
Crazy hair.
Yeah, and that cousin's recanting of his experience staying over there, I thought was really believable. It's like... Yeah, she totally fucking would lock him in the... And you would hear kids playing outside and he couldn't go outside. And that's why he knows how to play 6 fucking instruments.
Which instruments can you play?
I don't know. I
guitar for sure, because he was in the video. But I don't know what else.
Madison, you always, always, you never fail to ask the questions that for some fucking stupid reason none of us else think of. And I'm always
like, how
again? I love it. I love it. The mother felt... so bizarrely detached.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Agreed.
Some moms just can't be bothered, and she couldn't be bothered.
Even when she got the news that he had possibly murdered somebody, she was like, what'd he do? Like,
That's exactly what,
Like, even if you said that same exact thing to somebody that actually didn't know the person at all, had never met them, they'd have more of a reaction than the mother had to her son.
Yeah.
It was so weird. So he was from this town called Edmonton. Edmonton in Alberta, Canada. Have you guys ever heard of Edmonton?
Mm-mm.
So this is what's really wild to me is that Edmonton is very close to the border of Montana. So I had a best friend from Edmonton that would come over to Montana for the summer. And she actually took me home for a week with her once to Edmonton. So I've been there. And it's like a tiny little Mormon town. Like they're known for their Mormon temple. That's like pretty much the whole town. So interesting that he wasn't Mormon. So he's already on the outside in that town. And then I guess he was in a fundamentalist Christian cult.
His family was.
And he was molested in his youth, he said. So I don't know. What's crazy about Kai is that he was so endearing at times and then so frightening at other times.
I think that's too what I was getting at with the hot guy, except Erica doesn't think, was that he just was so deeply connected to him. So, I mean, there's definitely maybe some things that were not connecting with Kai on that.
Or that wasn't said. I can't imagine why he was so connected to him.
Right. I think he felt like he was almost like a son.
A lot of people were. Even that other video producer guy.
Yeah.
You know, he was just like, no, we didn't. I mean, and he felt fucked up too. He's like, nobody saw this coming or whatever. But,
how?
But they were completely connected
Even him being called the hatchet-wielding
right.
Hitchhiker is fucked up to me. Having a hatchet in your backpack.
Yeah, why do you have that?
They looked all past everything. It's the crazy.
Yeah.
But that's what we do. And the media is the one who did that.
Oh, yeah.
That's him. It's
per
this
usual.
Man who did it.
Right. Do you think he was married?
Kai?
Do you think you'd want to be married to him? No.
The journalist. We're talking about the damn journalist.
I know. You're insane.
Ooh.
I mean,
somebody pull up a picture.
He was.
I remember him, and he was striking, I guess. But no, but I wouldn't want to be married to him because
way more handsome now than you thought he was.
He lives in a world of Lala, if you ask me. I wouldn't want to be married to him because he lives in a fucked up, weird world that he writes about that ain't real. Wow.
We had very different takes on it.
Damn.
Joseph? No, is it Giuseppe?
How do you spell that?
Jesus Christ.
Jessup. J-E-S-S. Oh, Jess. Ob.
Jessup.
Ob. Respect. You couldn't be married to him because you just couldn't say his name.
He was like 19 in that. I mean, like, I wonder how old he was when the.
Yeah, he was young.
Out. He was young.
And
he
I guess he had
maybe
his
was
baby
like a brother.
Fat still or
yeah,
something.
Maybe.
But I mean.
He turned into a man. Age is good too.
Age was good to him. That is the best way to say it.
Mm-hmm. Some people age beautifully, for real.
We forgot to say that Kai actually, it comes out also at some point that is literally not his name. I guess he took part in some sort of spirit walk on an indigenous reservation and changed his name. But his born name was Caleb Lawrence McGilvery. But everybody in the world just knew him as Kai.
You know, I have a feeling that after processing this for a little while, I'm going to change my mind about a lot of things.
Really?
It's really, it's really layered, I think. And like his background, his mental, borderline mental illness. Even.
Definitely on the mental illness part.
Look, I would hate to ever not believe a victim. I'm not saying that I don't believe him. I'm just saying, was it...
I don't believe him, just for the
record.
You don't? I'm not.
You believe he provoked sex with him?
I think it was either the theory that Erica just came up with or that was on the thing, I don't know, about him being on a mission to...
Vigilante.
Yeah. Pedophiles, I would totally believe that. And I would believe that he got really, really, really drunk and that those people that have that thing that happens to them when they're really drunk where they become fucking evil
he
and an asshole.
He sort of alluded to, though, that
because we saw signs of that. We saw signs of how violent he
felt.
Right,
totally. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're right. Yeah. I still mean it, though. It's evolving in my head. It's processing in my head.
Where did you start and where are you going to? Or are you still not sure?
Well, at first, actually, my initial thing was he was a victim. This was fucked up. But the going back, I just have a hard time with. You know, it's like going back and we do this whole again and we're going to murder you. Did he steal anything from him when he murdered him?
I don't think so.
No, I think his whole thing was just, I think it felt like he got to
passion.
What Madison said a minute ago is that it became something almost he had to live up to now because it was everywhere. And that was just the next step for him to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was so interested in what you were saying and then I totally tuned out and now I'm really sad that I missed it.
I don't even know what I said.
Dang it.
Oh, but you can hear it when you go back. I don't know.
Still have never listened to one of these.
Isn't that hilarious? She's never.
Cannot.
Can you even imagine?
I cannot.
I love listening to you. I'm serious. All of y'all sound amazing. So. though. You need to listen.
I think we should handcuff her and make her.
We need to have a weekend where we like actually spend like the night and then just like
play on sleepover. That would be fun. That would be fun.
Then I would listen to it and be high and fucked up. And yeah.
You'll be pleasantly surprised.
Anyway, all right, you guys, it's time to vote for the hatchet wielding hitchhiker on Netflix.
Zero.
How many paws? 2 paws if you loved it. 1 paw if you sort of loved it. And no paws if you didn't like it. And you can do halves. You can do 1.5.
This word's yes.
Or half. You can do 1.5 or half. Okay, everybody vote.
Every time.
Maybe I would do a half.
Wow.
Maybe. The whole time I was like in my apartment cleaning.
I was pissed. I was watching
like
it.
In the background.
Really?
I was pissed.
I'm like, this is the dumbest shit. Waste of time. Hated it. Wow. Never.
So you're no pot.
None.
And you're a half a pot? And you're...
One.
Isn't that interesting?
So one and a half.
So three.
Three out of eight.
That's it.
3 out of 8 paws. You might just need to listen to this podcast and not watch it, I guess.
Smash.
Podcast.
Meow.
This is Podcats. We out.
Meow.